You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us. And we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Tangeray, S as in Sonya Curry, M as in Marcus Smart. Kennedy Miller.
What's up, guys?
Where can they find you on Twitter?
Follow me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. I'm so upset at this game tonight. I'm not even going to give you the names. That you underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Damn it. I've been saying this for 3 years. You should know where to find me by now.
All right, man. Friend of the show, family, Lamar Gafford. Where can the folks find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Lamar Gafford. That's all in one word. Once again, at Lamar Gafford. And unfortunately, I don't have any acronyms. So,
all right, all right. For everybody hanging out with us on our YouTube live stream, we appreciate you guys for hanging out with us. Send us your questions. Send us your comments. You never know. We might just read them out here live on the show. So, game number 5 of the 2022 NBA Finals. Golden State wins 104-94 to go up 3-2 in this best of 7 series. Jason Tatum led all scorers with 27 points, 10 for 20 from the floor. Andrew Wiggins led Golden State with 26 points, 2 steals, 2 assists, and 1 block. Kennedy Miller, you're very upset. Let the folks know why you're upset. All right? This is a safe space for you. Black men's mental health matters. Tell us why you're mad, sir.
Number one, I don't have a dog in this fight, but I did have a prediction. I predicted Boston would win in 6. And I just feel like these last two games have been winnable games that championship teams find ways to win. You find a way to win that game 5 at home. And you find a way to close this out. When you have a game on the road where the best player on the other team does not play well, by any stretch of his play, he did not play well. Both of their bigs were in foul trouble for pretty much most of the game, Looney and Draymond, who ended up fouling out. You got to find a way to close that deal. And, you know, I tip my hat to Golden State's defense because, you know, I will say that they did a really good job defensively. But a lot of that was unforced errors. It was something that, you know, I kind of thought about when this team first was assembled at the beginning of the year, or, you know, once they kind of start going on a run, they don't really have a true point guard. And so it's like with Marcus Smart, you go through an experience, like either he looks really great and he's knocking down contested shots and he's guarding and he's getting into people, or he's got this thing where it's like, what were you thinking when you did that? And it's an experience. It's a roller coaster. It's two up and down. And that's why I really wasn't so high on them for so long, is because I don't know what I'm going to get out of somebody who you're trusting to be your primary ball handler. But I don't think anybody on Golden State played well tonight. I know Jason Tatum at 30. I know he shot 50%. But, bro, this game 5 is tied up. 73% of the time, game 5 winners go on to win the series. And you don't shoot a shot in the first quarter? Like, you don't even put one up? I thought Jaylen Brown took tough shots. I think more so Jaylen Brown, Golden State is starting to figure out his tendencies, right? So they know now that, you know, he's going to do 1-2. He's going to try and get you in the air. He might take a pull-up. or he's gonna pass it to the opposite wing. And they're starting to pick up on those things, so it's starting to get tougher. But you know, when you got a guy like Andrew Wiggins who's giving you back-to-back double doubles for Golden State, obviously Jordan Poole came and gave them double digits tonight. I think he had 14. And then Klay Thompson playing well. You know, you're kind of setting yourself up for a recipe of disaster, and they start off the game so bad. I knew they were going to make a run. They made a run in the third quarter. But if you didn't start the game off that bad, in the third quarter making 8 straight threes, you kind of putting the game away. But you look up, and they only up by 3 at the most. 3 or 5, I want to say. But then Jordan Poole hits that shot at the end of the third. It kind of deflates them. Marcus Smart gets a bad technical. Then he gets an offensive foul. And so, you know, I think they only had like 2 or 3 field goals made by the time their starters were taking out the game. So just an ugly way to end the game. And now Golden State has all the momentum in this series.
For me, the biggest thing that I took away from it was I picked Golden State to win this series in 7 games. I did. And the biggest reason was championship DNA. You know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, right? When you are hemorrhaging, do you have a guy that can make a shot? You know, can you and will you get stops when you need to, right? Can you, if you're down 12 or 13, can you make a run? Can you sustain that run? Can you stay locked in, right? When there are ebbs and flows in the game, do you put your head down and mail it in? Golden State doesn't do that. We've never seen Golden State do that. And we knew Boston at some point was going to make a run. And surprise, surprise, Boston had another good third quarter, the second good third quarter they've had in a row. The problem is if they have a good third quarter, they're terrible in the fourth quarter, right? Right. It's like Boston throws their best shot in quarter number 3. And, you know, 17, 18-point turnaround, and you look up at the end of the third, and they're down 1. Mind you, great shot by Jordan Poole, the whole 9 yards. But even if Jordan Poole didn't make that shot, it's a 1-possession game. It's a 1-score game, right? And then secondly, I thought about this tonight. Steph Curry played poorly.
Yep.
By every single metric. After scoring 43 in game 4, he had under 20. I think he had 16. On 0-for-10 shooting from the 3-point line. So when your best player, when the opposition's best player plays as poorly as Steph Curry did tonight, you should be able to win that ball. You should, like, all intents and purposes. And then broadly with Golden State, they shot 9-for-40 from beyond the arc.
Yep.
9-for-40. And Boston still lost the game by 10. This should be a game they should have won, right? So if the Boston Celtics cannot win a basketball game, when Steph Curry is 0-for-10 from beyond the 3-point line, a lot of shots he normally makes, and if the Golden State Warriors shoot 9-for-40 from the 3-point line, under 30%, and you lose by double digits, damn, can you win 2 more games? Because at this point, I don't think they can. If they could win a game like tonight, they can't win 2 more. Like, I think, you know, this is over. Whether it's in 6 or in 7, I don't think Boston just has the championship DNA or just, you know, the experience yet. Do they have the talent? Yes. And I said this the other night. I think Boston has objectively, man for man, the better team.
No question.
And I'll say this. In 98% of series, in a best of 7, the better team wins 98% of the time. I think this is going to be one of those times where the team that does not have the better overall squad wins. And it's simply because of championship DNA. That's it and that's all. Lamar, what you got?
Yeah, I think you mentioned pretty much, you know, the unforced errors that Boston had in the game. They had 18 turnovers to Golden State 6. But one glaring thing about Boston, and it's been like this for the last couple of games, it's just they don't know what to do when Robert Williams is off the floor. That's a big thing about that too, because in game 4, you know, at least he was able to get you something, get you going on defense, even though you know, they lost that game. It's like when he's in the game, and he was the only player on this on Boston to have a plus in the plus minus. And it's just he does the little things. You know what I mean, whether it's blocking shots, stealing, you know, just being a defensive anchor out there, or just at least being a big body out there that's going to be like, all right, well, I can't go inside the paint here. And it's just the little things right there. But this is also a guy that's going off with one bad leg, and he needs to be off the court. And then when he's off the court, it's like Boston doesn't know what to do with on their defense anymore or something like that. So it's just, you know, they got off to a bad start in the first quarter. They let it go away in the fourth quarter. And those are just the really – those are kind of some of the things that really just stood out to me on that there. And it's just like you said, there's a guy that's just giving you as much as he can out there, but you're not really helping him out by holding down the fort when he's on the bench.
And the thing that I'll say, Alex, is I totally understand your championship pedigree point. What I will say, though, is the X factor in these two games has been a guy that had never made it out the first round.
Are you talking about that walking disappointment that is Andrew Wiggins?
I mean, 17-16 in Boston. What did he have tonight? What, 22-13 or 24-13?
Andrew Wiggins had 26 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal. Plus 12 on plus minus.
That. He has no championship DNA. He's just outplaying those guys. Like I said,
he has nothing.
He has no DNA. You can go back and chronicle this show. We've ridiculed Andrew Wiggins over and over again. Alex used to always say this stat about his lack of win shares. And we look up, and this guy is the guy that's contributing to them winning the most, in my opinion. Steph is going to do his thing. Clay is going to either show up or he's not going to show up. But Andrew Wiggins, to get 16 boards on the road and then to get 26-13 tonight, like, he's been the X factor for them. And like I said, I really wasn't impressed with anybody on Boston. And I'll say, okay, maybe outside of Robert Williams. But with no Looney, they didn't feel comfortable playing him that much tonight. But, you know, when your three ball handlers, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, and Jaylen Brown, combine for double the turnovers that the entire Warriors team has, you're setting yourself up for a recipe of disaster. They showed the stat. When they get over 16 turnovers, they've only won one game in the playoffs out of 7. Anything less than that, they're like 6-2. And it's – of course, they understood the magnitude. I don't want to say they didn't understand the magnitude, but this is a game where you can't come out as lackadaisical as they did. And you could kind of tell, like you said, they threw their best punch in the third quarter. So by the time the fourth quarter starts, Golden State gets on a run, which you got to expect that they will do, especially at home. Jason Tatum is airballing. And I know it's not nerves. He ain't got no legs. They ain't came out the game. But you can kind of tell he shoots one. Oh, that's short. Oh, that's short. That's short. Like, you ain't got no more legs, bro, because you put yourself in such a deficit in the first half that you got to climb out of this hole. And then you climbed out like, hey, we got it. We up by 3. Now we can't get a stop. So now we're trying to go shot for shot. And these guys are some of the most elite shooters in the league. So, you put yourself in a bad position. I think it's going to go 7 now. I won't say that I think Golden State will win it, because if it goes 7, you never know in a game 7 who's going to show up and who's not going to show up. 2016, even though Cleveland won, I didn't think Draymond Green was going to have 38 points.
The game of his life. Yeah, Draymond didn't even play that well at the Boys and Girls Club.
Even the Milwaukee Boston, Grant Williams, you know, shot all those threes. So
Shane Battier in the 2013 NBA Finals with San Antonio and Miami. That one still gives me nightmares. Damn Shane Battier to hell. Damn him to hell. You said what? That was not a great time. I sound like Jim Ross talking about Triple H right now. Damn you, Triple H. Damn you. Damn his soul.
But, you know, if it goes to a game seven, who knows who will step up. But I do think it's going to go seven. I think Boston is going to find a way. I think it's going to be one of those games where, you know, it kind of gets out of hand early just because they got the crowd behind them. They're going to make shots early. Golden State's going to make a run, but I think Boston's going to close it. By the way, I did call that Steph 40-point game.
You did. You did.
I was really trying to get on air to say that I did call that Steph 40-piece. But I think it's going to go seven. I don't know what's going to happen after that. We shall see. But it's been a good series.
My biggest thing for Boston is that they can't get Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to play well at the same time. Right? So, like, the last couple of ball games, and Jaylen Brown's played very well. Jason Tatum has played very inefficiently. Like, we're talking like 23 or 24 points on 23 or 24 shots, right?
Yep.
And a night like tonight, where Jason Tatum is on and he's rolling, you know, 27 points, 10 for 20 from the field, 5 for 9 from the 3-point line. And we've got Jaylen Brown, 18 points on 5 for 18 shooting, right? And if you're going to win a championship, you can't win a championship with your two best players not playing well at the same damn time. Like, yep. That's just not a recipe for success, especially when you're a team that's only going 7 deep, right? Sure. Like, they only ran, like, Jason Tatum, 44 minutes. Al Horford, 33 minutes. Robert Williams, 30 minutes. Marcus Smart, 40 minutes. Jaylen Brown, 44 minutes. They ran Grant Williams for 16 minutes. Derek White for 21, right? Everybody else really didn't get serious minutes outside of Peyton Pritchard. I think he played 5 minutes.
And you didn't get nothing out of those last. And, you didn't get nothing out of Derek White. Now, he plays pretty good defense. Offensively,
right.
You didn't get anything out of Peyton Pritchard and
Derek White.
And Derek White.
So, yeah, exactly. So if you're not going to get anything out of Jaylen Brown in terms of, you know, efficiency, right? And Horford gave you 9 points. Williams gave you 10. Smart gave you 20, right?
Right.
But it's at a certain point, when you get those, you know, 10 and 20 points, you know what I'm saying? And Golden State, they're going an extra man, right? You are probably going 7 deep. They're going 8. And they have an extra guy on their bench. So when Golden State puts those subs in, Jordan Poole can create a shot.
Yep.
Boston has to have either Brown or Tatum on the floor at all times. Because without the two of them on the floor, it is very difficult to create shots. I'm sorry. I don't trust Marcus Smart to create buckets for himself or anybody else. Right? So that's one of the things for Golden State that helps. And then, you know, they've got Gary Payton back. Right. Gary Payton gave him a big 15 points. And I don't know. It's weird to say a bench player gave you a quiet 15, but that was a quiet 15.
For
sure. You know, a real quiet 15. And if it just has to come down to it, they'll run Iguodala's, you know, decrepit ass out there just if they have to, you know, so they can go just a little bit deeper than everybody else.
For sure. And we're not even talking about the missed free throws.
Oh, right? Dear.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really like to harp on those things because, you know, nobody's 100% free throw shooter. But at the same time, I feel like missing, like going 0 for 2 at the line is such, you know what I mean? Especially when you're trying to cut at a lead. You know, you down by 8, you cut it, it's 6, it's a 2-possession game, and you miss both. And Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum had a stretch where they're missing both, you know, at the line. And you know, you can get away with it against some teams, but Golden State, when you got two or three guys that are shooting above 85%, like, if they get there, they're making it. And you're not capitalizing on those opportunities. It's just a backbreaker, bro. Like, Jason, I think it was maybe five or four minutes left, but it's a 9-8-point game. You make both free throws, you can cut it to 7 or 6. Now you're like, okay, let's get 2 stops. Let's see what we can do. Let's get 2 stopping scores, and let's see what we're looking like. But missing both is like, now we got to get another stop. They don't stop them there. Timeout, we ain't got no momentum left.
And the worst part about that was when Boston was making that run. Anytime I'm watching a Boston game, and I know I said this the other night on our live stream a few nights ago, if and when Boston makes a run, you know, at some point they're going to give that lead up.
Yep.
At some point, you know, they're going to hemorrhage. At some point, they're not going to be able to get a bucket and get a stop for a long stretch of time. And it is the wildest thing to me that a team that has that problem with, you know, just attention to detail and being locked in has made it this far. Like, that is a credit to Ime Udoka.
The quality
of coaching he's done, and like, you know, just pure talent. But at a certain point, like my high school football coach used to say, Ken Savannah, shout out to him, shout out to Coach Savannah. He used to say this all the time. At a certain point, we ain't going to be able to just run past people. At a certain point, we ain't going to be able to just out physical people or outrun people. At a certain point, our discipline, our, you know, weight room strength, at a certain point, those things are going to win us or lose us a ball game. And you know, I think in this series, the chickens have come home to roost.
Never made me sad, Alex.
Chickens come to roost always made me glad.
No, but I did. You could kind of tell, especially at the beginning of that fourth quarter, you can kind of tell, like, especially with Marcus Smart, right? I didn't think he should have got that first tech, especially with how much they let Draymond Green get away with. I don't know what – it didn't really show on the replay what happened, but it just looked like he was arguing with the ref. I don't know what he said, but he gets a tech, then he gets an offensive foul, then he throws the ball, which probably could have been another tech, but they didn't call it. They get a delay of game. But you get, and you know, they're trying to talk to him like, hey, calm down. And of course, like, oh, I'm good. But you can kind of tell like the momentum is just gone and they're just kind of like unraveling. You see their faces on the bench. And like I said, in this game six, it's going to have to be one of those. They just come out guns blazing. It ain't like we going to work ourselves and come back from another lead. Like if they get down again, I think it's over. It's got to be they get up early, Golden State going to try and make a push, and they close the deal.
And I think a team like Golden State, which is a kind of something, and I'm going to swing this to Lamar here in a second, that we mentioned this the other night, that when you have a chance to put your foot down, you know, you have a chance to lean on somebody to really take control, you do it, right? Boston didn't do that in game number four. They didn't do that at all. And it's coming back to bite them. Golden State is like, oh, game five at our house. If we win tonight, we got two games to win one. We don't take this. We have to take this. We will take this. We're going to do whatever we have to do to take this. And they did. You know, Boston, you know, again, one of those, I hate to say it, championship DNA, right? You've been here before. You know, you don't get shook. You don't get scared, you know. And like I said, it's wild they won a game like tonight without Steph Curry playing particularly well. So, Lamar, I'm going to ask you, how did Boston defend Steph Curry tonight to throw him off his game?
Good question. I mean, it's just – it's a good question because, like you said, most of those shots weren't falling out there tonight too. And I just think, again, when you have a guy like Robert Williams out there on the court, it makes it a little bit easier for those guards to kind of, you know, to go up against Steph and just to kind of make it easy for him. Because, like you said, at least you have a guy inside the paint that it's his job to dominate inside the paint there. And everybody else is just free to just, okay, well, we can stop Steph there. But once he's off the court, now somebody's going to have to try to protect the paint. Now, next thing you know, you get, you know, Steph is open and all that different type of stuff. And even though his shots weren't falling tonight, all the other guys' shots, they were falling out there tonight too. Like, you know, Poole was hitting some ridiculous shots out there tonight too in most cases. So, you know, just one of those things there that I think they just kind of did that there.
I mean, you got to be physical with him at the point of attack. You have to be very crisp in your rotations and know who I can leave, who when the ball is swung to, I can stun off of, like Draymond, like Looney, you know. But they do a great job of, like, you know, they're sagging off Looney. So they're going to throw it to Looney and have Steph run that way so that they can just have a handoff and you already sagging. So you're late. If Steph catches it, he can knock down the shot. But you have to show, which, you know, early on, we've talked about it before, they were doing too much drop coverage, in my opinion. But you got to show, make Steph beat that guy off the dribble and make you make a full rotation. Like, okay, make him swing it. Somebody else open. As long as it's not Clay, Like, make them swing the ball around and make somebody else beat us. But, bro, you're not going to come off a screen and get a wide open look and shoot it. You're not going to come off a dribble handoff and get a wide open look and knock it down. We're going to show you. You're probably going to be quicker than our big. You're going to have to beat them off the dribble. And you're going to have to finish at the rim, or you're going to have to drive and kick to somebody else. Gary Payton corner threes. He had 15 tonight. Credit to him. That's how you're going to have to beat us. Draymond Green. That's how you're going to have to beat us. It's easier said than done, because obviously they've seen this for 7 years now with that core of how to guard it. But I feel like that's the formula. Like, I'm not just about to let Steph just walk into some. And he missed some that he usually makes tonight, and it was something that was really good defense. But I got to hang my hat on stopping him on that defensive end. That's who I got to key in on. And everybody else, you're going to have a night like tonight where they had like five dudes getting double digits.
Baby, tell me what you mad for. I give you everything. I'm always on the road working, but you my everything. It's been some years now and you don't understand me yet. I'm about to bend some corners. I guess it's time to go.
Absolutely, absolutely. Going to move to some of our fan questions and some of our fan comments here. So, Maya says, Celtics had such a great third quarter. The momentum was high from the very beginning, and they couldn't finish like the new quarterback for the Browns. You know, Freaky D.
Who is my? That's
Big Freaky. You know, they couldn't finish like Big Freaky. You know, like, do they? Everybody we talked about this before. Like I said, look, I don't know. I've told some of you guys this, but we are not calling that man by his first and last name no more. It's kind of like we're going to treat him like we treat the older man who loves all women. You know, we, you know, his, yes, yes, yes. Side note, that is still one of the funniest interviews in the history of, you know, television. It's up there with that James Brown interview when he was high as a Georgia pie. Oh, God.
Yeah. Hello, Ted.
Look, that man's new name, a new quarterback for the Browns, his new name from now on, Freaky D or Big Freaky. We have to make this a thing, folks. Just saying. Also, more comments. Is Jason Tatum a superstar? Listener Jasmine asked that question, so Ken, I'll swing that one to you.
You know, he had all but kind of locked up superstar status. He's had some underwhelming games so far in this finals. My definition might be different from other people's definition of a superstar. I feel like a superstar is somebody who I can confidently say can be the best player on a championship team. So I don't label all these guys superstars. I think there are maybe like four or five superstars in the league. LeBron, KD, Steph, Embiid. I mean, it probably
get
it. Oh, I'm sorry, Kawhi Leonard, because he's been out. That's about it for me. So he was on status to become that next superstar, because you knock off KD, you knock off Giannis. I'm sorry, you knock off KD, you knock off Giannis, and you beat the Heat. Okay, well, you beat Steph Curry in these finals. You show up and you be that guy. Yeah, I'll anoint you to superstar status. It's a little questionable right now. Let's see how he finishes this last game or two. And then, you know, I'll decide if he's a superstar or not.
Absolutely. Another question. So can we discuss why Stephen A. Smith looked like a burlap sack and Jalen Rose looked like abstract art? You know, I really want to ask, like, you know, like Stephen A., his outfit just wasn't matching. Like his shirt, you know, like his jacket and his tie, not looking right. You know what I mean?
Stephen A. be thinking he like an NBA player. He be thinking he's an NBA player when he come in there. Like he thinks he's on that celebrity status because he's on every ESPN show. Like you can't, I just know you can't tell Stephen A. nothing when he be walking in.
Look, man, as long as he's not dressed like Charles Barkley was in like the mid to late 90s, like, them dudes used to dress with a violent amount of fabric, right? Like, all them dudes used to dress like the cussing pastor. All of them. And I'm glad they got a new tailor. I'm glad to talk to somebody. Matter of fact, that picture of Tracy McGrady when he had those big ass pants
on NBA TV,
the Michael Jordan hems, like, look, bigger.
Dog. Bigger.
I don't know what Jalen has on at this point. I don't. I can't. Maybe he's just so rich he not shop. Look, he clearly is not shopping at Men's Warehouse.
No.
As somebody once said, look like the ghost of Kwanzaa Pass. But shout out to the barber.
Shout out to the barber.
Man, yeah. How much would you pay to go see Jalen Rose's barber? Like, what is the maximum amount of money you put down to see Jalen Rose's barber?
Oh my gosh, that's a good question.
Hmm.
Because it looks like God himself does the edge up. It does.
That is,
and I'm like,
it's immaculate.
Oh dear God! Like, yo, I'm thinking at max, like, and I'd have to save money down. Maybe have to, you know, pay for the haircut with Afterpay. You know, maybe so. And look, and that's a small price to pay. It'd be a small price to pay.
So, what would the price be for you?
$250. That's the max I'd pay. That's the max. $250. But it's Jalen Rose's barber, okay? This ain't no regular dude that's posting pictures on Instagram, right? Like y'all come here. We ain't going to smooth cuts. You know what I'm saying? We ain't getting your haircut in somebody mama house. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Anybody that went to the HBCU, you remember getting your haircut in somebody dorm room.
Yeah.
In the bathroom. You remember that? Yeah. This ahead. Ain't that, man. This dude go ahead. Oh, Jalen Rose plays top dollar. Look. However much Jalen Rose is paying, let me cut down that by like a third or, you know, a quarter, you know, because I'm broke, you know. But like I said, I'm willing to pay that amount of money because I'm paying this in Afterpay, man.
Shout out to Jalen Rose.
Absolutely.
Can I put it on my credit card?
Discover card. You going to Discover card it?
No, put that on that Rush card. Oh man, so we got another fan question. Thoughts on Anthony Davis saying he hasn't shot a ball since April? Ken, you're not a Lakers fan, you're a LeBron James fan. Like, you don't have to call yourself a Lakers fan.
I'm an Anthony Davis fan too. I do like Anthony Davis.
Oh, all right, Kennedy Miller, give us the eternally optimistic view of this right here. Come on, come on.
You already know. It's not even the offseason yet. Season's not even over.
Hell, the offseason started for Anthony Davis in February.
Okay, well, you get your body right.
His body's never right, though. It's never right.
Figure it out. You get your body right. The basketball stuff, you're going to do what you're going to do on the basketball floor. The problem is just keeping you on the floor. So if your fragile body needs to lay in the bed for 2 months and not do anything, so be it. And I saw his little, you know, he said his little workout regimen. I guess he doesn't work out for like the first 4 weeks and then starts working on his body in the next 4 weeks, then starts doing basketball the last 4 weeks to get ready for training camp. But yeah, I don't really have a problem with it. Just make sure that you're fully healthy so we can make this push.
And oh God, a push to the first round of the playoffs. But you know what? You know what? We got a long time. We got to talk about LeBron James because, you know, leave Kennedy Miller to his own devices, and he would tell you right now how the Lakers are going to make a run. He would tell you right now. I swear for Lord. If we just said, you know what? I promise you, Kennedy would be like, you know what? This is how the Lakers are going to make a run.
I can't tell you how right now, Alex, but I will say this. I feel like it's going to be a crazy NBA offseason, right? I feel like it's going to be a crazy NBA offseason. Hawks trying to trade John Collins. Suns are looking to move on from DeAndre Ayton. So on and so forth. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm excited about it.
And I'm here to tell you this right now. As my daddy liked to say, as long as Russell Westbrook is still in Los Angeles at the start of the season, you will be out maximum in the first round.
I like the Darvin Ham pickup.
How? We don't know if he's actually good. Like,
we'll see.
Maybe, but
okay.
But I'm saying Here's my thing with hiring new coaches. We don't know if he can. I'm not saying Darvin Ham can coach, right? But I don't know if he can.
But, and I like it because of the unknown. Like, I know what I'm going to get if I hire Kenny Atkinson. I know what I'm going to get if I hire Terry Stotts. I know all the baby oil that's going to be going on if I get Mark Jackson putting hands on But what I don't know is what I'm going to get from Darvin Ham. My thing is, with those historically great franchises, Celtics, Lakers, Dallas Cowboys, you got to bring in coaches that are either legends of it, like you know that they're great and you just broke the bank, or a young coach that has some pedigree that you don't know as far as fans, you don't know what you're going to get out of him. And he's going to be boom or bust.
And you see the Dallas Cowboys. Who's going to the Dallas Cowboys? And again, we shouldn't be talking about this right now. BBW Jason Garrett. As long as BBW Jason, look, and they're trying to set BBW Jason Garrett to get fired. Okay. They're trying to set him up this year.
That was a mistake.
But we're going
to be better this year, though.
Let's move on. We ain't going to talk about this right now. We're not going to talk about this. So we have a number of listeners who are asking if Golden State wins this series, what are the chances Andrew Wiggins wins the finals MVP?
He getting my vote for these last two games, bro. Now, Steph played his butt off. But the last time I was on here, we talked about Celtics are just bigger than them, right? They're out rebounding them. Golden State has no chance. What do? Do they go big? Do they go small? But when you got your three-man, your small forward, or put them at power forward, when you want to go small, getting you 16 rebounds on the road and then getting you 26 and 13 at the crib, like, that's meaningful. Not that Steph has not played well, because he's played well, but there have been times where, like tonight, where are you, Steph? Like, that's my whole pushback with things like Steph is great. He's a great player, you know, best shooter we've ever seen, but top 10 player of all time. When we think about top 10 players, like Shaq today was like, yeah, he's on my level. No, he's not. He's not, because your level was like Shaq had one of the best peaks of all time. Like, if you just take his peak, not his whole career, but when he was at his best, he was a top five, top three player, in my opinion. He just didn't sustain it for a while. But at his peak, he won you three championships in a row, three straight finals MVPs, and got a lot of big men paid in the NBA just trying to stop him. But like Steph is like, it's like he's great when he's winning. He's great when they're up by like 8 or 10. And he doesn't really have that much pressure. He'll shoot you out. The game will be over quick. But if he's down, or if it's like a close game, you may get something great. And you also may get something, 7-22 tonight? 8-22 tonight?
But I think like that's the function of living by the three and dying by the three. You know, with the way Golden State decided to play in these finals, given that they're only going to play Kevon Looney limited minutes, he's, you know, the rest of the way. Some of that due to foul trouble, some of it doing to, you know, just stylistically the way they decided they want to attack Horford and Robert Williams. You're setting things up to where you have to make a bunch of threes, right? And given the people we're talking about, Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, you know, general wisdom is, all right, they can make enough threes to where this will work, right? But if you don't, right, like Steph is one of those guys to where some of these shots Steph takes, they're great shots if he makes them. If he doesn't make them, they look really bad. Like tonight, sure, some of those 30, 33 footers, you know, he's coming, you know, coming off the rebound, coming off a quick screen, boom, break. Coming off a quick screen, blocked by Grant Williams. Like, it looks really horrible when they're not going right in. So it's one of those, like, boom or bust type things. It's like that, like a baseball player. Like, we all remember, like, a baseball player from our childhood who, when he come up to the plate, he's swinging for the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And if he hits the ball, that joint going a long way. If he don't hit the ball, he's striking out hard. That's what it is, living by the three and dying by the three, in my estimation. So final question before we, you know, start to wrap things up and get things out here. You know, folks got to go to work in the morning. You know, all of our listeners, we appreciate you guys for hanging with us. Adjustments for game number six. Is there an adjustment Boston can make at this point to try to, you know, right the ship and win the next two ball games?
You gotta get going quicker than you did today. I like some of the things that they did in the second quarter when Jason Tatum got going. He got a layup. He got some free throws. Like, we talked about this the last time. Like, get your stars going earlier. Like, as much success as Jaylen Brown had in those first couple of games against Draymond Green, like, I don't think it's best to ISO him at the top of the key against Draymond Green and expect to get a high-quality shot out of it. You know what I mean? Like, this is the NBA Finals. This is about to be six games. You playing each other in less than 2 weeks. People are starting to pick up what you like to do. So you're going – this is going to go down to your superstars. Who's going to step up the most? And, I mean, you got to take care of the ball. 18-6. You basically tripled the amount of turnovers. And so if you take care of the ball, then you give yourselves more possessions and some of those efficient shots, you can get them back because you keep the possessions. So I just think they have to take care of the ball better. I thought defensively they played okay. They didn't play bad. Just offensively, they just looked dead for two quarters.
That didn't limit those swings here for what Golden State has and all, because, you know, those big plays here that give them some confidence, like game five, obviously, the pool shot before the end of the third quarter. I mean, that lifted them up a little bit. Don't let them get into so many runs. Like you said, in the first quarter, you know, Golden State took advantage of that game. And in the course of the fourth quarter, taking away in the ball game there. You know, don't let them get into too many of those runs. Show that you can withstand those runs, because at this point, I mean, there is no tomorrow. Like, you have to go out here. You have to prove to everybody here that you can at least take this to a game seven. You have your crowd with you that's going to help you out there in this case here. And like what Kennedy said, get going early. I mean, that's another thing there. Just come out there guns blazing and see what you can do there.
I think in game six, and we can get to our predictions for game six now, might as well. I think in game number six, this is going to be reminiscent of the 2013 finals game six to me. I think that's where I think it's going to come out, at least starting to look like a bit. You know, with the more experienced team, the team that's been here a lot, knowing we're up 3-2 on the road, let's go take it and take it now. Or try our best to take it right now. You know, and I must say that was one of game six in 2013 was one of Tim Duncan's best games in the NBA final. One of the best. Like, he was phenomenal. And I think, and like our listener Dante says, he thinks Steph's going to come out guns blazing in game six and try to lock up the finals MVP. I think Golden State is going to, you know, you don't want to risk a game number seven. Because like you said, Ken, anything can happen in a game seven. Now, the positive of this series is Boston's best player isn't at the level of a LeBron James, right? So previously, when Golden State was in the final, LeBron was the best player in the series, unquestionably. Well, undoubtedly. You know, Kevin Durant is a close second. You know, you can, you know, him and haw about that if you want, you know. But Boston's best player doesn't terrify me in the way that LeBron James does.
For sure.
Right? But even still, even if Jason Tatum or Brown don't terrify me, I don't want to risk it. Not a chance. You know, so I think Golden State comes out guns blazing. I do. I think it comes out guns blazing, focused to try to wrap this one up. You know, because you don't want to go to a seven. And to be honest, I said Golden State in seven. I'm going to stick to Golden State in seven. I'm going to stick to that. You know, I think Boston finds a way to win game number six. I do. I think Boston finds a way to win number six because I want this to go seven. I do. It's been a great series. But I think Boston pulls this one out by the skin of their teeth. They get a couple of shots from Grant Williams, Derek White, and that makes all the difference in the world.
I agree. I think Boston comes out and wins it in game six. And then, you know, like we talked about, just, I mean, anything can happen in game seven. I'm interested to see who's going to be the unlikely cast member. If you would say who's going to show up in that game seven, I don't want to kind of speak too soon, but I do think Boston is going to win. I just think that they're going to come out. It's just going to be one of those games, kind of like game six in Cleveland in 2016. I know you, obviously these guys aren't on the same level as LeBron James, but it's one of those where it's over early. You kind of feel like the game is just over early, and they're going to make a little run, but you know that this, okay, we getting ready for game seven. They might pull the starters a little bit earlier than usual. And, you know, let's get our popcorn ready for a game seven.
I think Boston wins in game six. I think this will go seven. Something that really stands out to me here, we haven't really seen that Jason Tatum blow up game yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm really interested in seeing, he has to do it in game six. I think he does do it in game six, just to at least get it back to the Bay, and we'll see what happens in game seven. I'm not going to make a prediction about game seven quite yet, but I do think Boston wins game six.
All right. We have to leave it right there. We are out of time here on the Game Plan Podcast post-game show. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can the folks find you on Twitter, Instagram, all that?
You can find me on Twitter, _KennedyMiller_. Quit Mayan Jasmine. You're going to get off LeBron and the Lakers. I saw this Marcus Smart is flopping like LeBron when he's playing for the Heat. That's
Kennedy, quit being sensitive.
That's uncalled for. Hey, that's a decade ago.
You're being very sensitive, Kennedy.
Lakers need to bring up some players on the L.A. Sparks. Wow.
Look, maybe to call the Dirty Mac Derek Fisher. Isn't he still available? Or he still, no, you know, is he still scrambling out with Matt Barnes?
He just got fired.
Oh.
He just got the boot. So
now he gets to deal with Matt Barnes all by himself, huh? He has all the time in the world to deal with him and Matt Barr.
_KennedyMiller_, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, friend of the show, family, Lamar Gavin, where can the folks find you on Twitter? Where can they find all your other fine journalism work?
Yes, sir.
High school sports.
Yes, sir. You can find me on Twitter at Lamar Gafford. That's all in one word. Once again, at Lamar Gafford. All in one word. You can also find my articles and stuff on www.thetowntalk.com. And like I said, we've got a lot of stuff previewing the high school football season. So a lot of good stuff coming on the way.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, it's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Tom, S as in Sonia, like Sonia Curry, M as in Marcus, like Marcus Smart. Follow the Game Plan Podcast on Instagram at _TheGamePlanPodcast. Follow the Game Plan Podcast official YouTube channel, which you're watching this on our YouTube channel right now. Follow us, subscribe, like, share, rate us, review us, do all of that. Tell 10 friends to tell 10 more friends to tell 10 more friends about the Game Plan Podcast, all the great work that we're doing. But wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys so much for listening. So for Kennedy Miller and Lamar Gafford, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast. We will see you guys after game number six.